Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 52 on March 9th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Fitbit, the S&P 500 Index ETF, and Toll Brothers. And we discuss three new trades on Tenet Healthcare, Coca-Cola, and Morgan Stanley. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners, so if you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C. At theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know in order to understand the trades that I discuss on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch those videos, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, before getting started this week, I just wanted to state one of the things that I am super psyched about today, and that is this is my 52nd show, and when I began this podcast journey, it actually didn't start with this, The Weekly Option. It started with another podcast that I started a few years back with a good friend of mine who also, we actually started trading for the same company and went through a training program together back in 2001, and I traded at the CBOE and at the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, and he went out to San Francisco and traded at the Pacific Stock Exchange. And he and I remained friends. We stayed in touch, and we decided to have this podcast years ago where all we really discussed were each week we talk about, the markets a little bit. And then we would discuss, we each came up with our own covered call trade for the week. So you got two covered call trades for the week, and then we discussed the results just like this show. And we parted ways after about 9 months. He wasn't as into this sort of podcasting journey and even sort of online e-commerce. And I was, but it took me a few more years. My career really picked up in energy trading, and I was just too busy. I kept thinking that I was ready. I thought I was ready. And I was busy in the energy business. And thankfully, that was... I was improving. I was becoming both a better trader and getting better opportunities. And so I really focused on that. So, that was 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago now. So it took me 3 years before I was ready to get back onto a podcast and get started again. And deciding to go it alone was also a big concern for me. But that being said, I am super psyched because through that journey, this is my 52nd show. So there's going to be a little more excitement, and I've got some changes that are coming in the next few weeks that I'll be rolling out, and also a nice little sweepstakes. There'll be some prizes I mentioned last week, so stay tuned for those. They are right around the corner, and man, I'm just so psyched that you guys are here. I appreciate you listening and following along with me really on this journey. So let's talk markets. So this past week, the U.S. equity markets fell 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 576 points, ending the week at 25,450 points. The S&P 500 index fell 60 points to close the week at 2,743 points. Now, this upcoming week, there are 376 publicly traded companies in the U.S. that will be announcing earnings, and here are a few of the ones that I'll track. So on Tuesday, I'll take note of retailers like Dick's Sporting Goods, you've got Sears Holding Company, and also Williams-Sonoma announcing that day. And then on Thursday, I'll look for a couple software companies. You've got Adobe, and you'll have Oracle announcing their earnings. So we certainly are not, or we are off of the high earnings weeks, the last few weeks. We've seen, as many as 1,000, a little over 1,000 actually at one point, companies announced, and this week significantly fewer But I listen, I look for earnings every week because I want to know if the companies that I'm looking at are about to announce earnings, because that changes the whole perspective of what might happen to their stock, their shares of stock. And I also oftentimes, and it's going to be true this week as well, I look for trades in the companies that have just announced. You know, once the news is out and the stock sort of does what it's going to do, I like to be aware of, or oftentimes there are great opportunities that you can trade. So the topic for this week's show, is exercising an option. What you might do, when you might exercise, and when you don't. So, historically, when you're pricing an option, like if you're looking at some of the, pricing models, the Black-Scholes model, of course, being the most, famous, when you're pricing up an option, the assumption is always that you're going to hold that option until expiration. And we are 1 week away from March option expiration. So when you trade options, it's almost like, you know, we live in cycles of expiration. In fact, when I was a floor trader, we got paid the Monday after expiration. So it wasn't even like you get paid on the 15th or in the first. I got paid once a month, and it was the Monday after expiration. So you really learn to live at times financially. You felt like you were going to die based on options expiration. So, and people don't talk about expiration that much. So, but when it comes to options, you normally, when you're pricing them, you assume that the option will be held all the way through expiration. So, and that's because that time factor, time is a piece of pricing an option. And so if you sell an option, obviously that option might get, might leave your portfolio, along with the stock early because you get assigned. But if you buy the option, you're fully in control of when you're going to exercise that option if it's in the money. And so that brings up two things. Number one, there's two types of expiration. There's American expiration and there's European expiration. And these have nothing to do with the location or origination point of the option or the company behind it. It really has to do with a style. So American style of expiration is American exercise. You can exercise that option at any point during the life of that option, any point before expiration comes. So that means that if I am trading, if I buy a call and there's an event that happens on Friday, say there's an earnings announcement coming up, and my option currently is in the money, and I like the profit potential or the amount of profit I've already gotten, I have the option then, or the decision of exercising early, and you change it. You that option now turns into 100 shares of stock, and then you can do with that stock whatever you want. With the European style of exercise, you're only able to exercise the option at expiration. So, and if you listen on the show, oftentimes when I'm deciding on trades, when I'm working through the numbers to decide if it's worth it or not, I'm looking at it from an end game, an end result standpoint, meaning at expiration, if this is in the money, I've made X amount. If this is out of the money, I've made X amount of dollars. And so European style exercise is right with that. But even with American options, there really are only a couple of situations where you would actually exercise that option early. So let's say you have a call option, you own a call option, and there is a dividend that's announced. So when that dividend is announced, they give, you know, the X dividend date, which is the day that the stock, the underlying stock trades without the dividend priced in it. So if it's a 50 cent dividend, in theory, that stock price at the start of that day will trade for 50 cents per share less, because a dividend is a payment to shareholders, to equity owners, in the amount. So if you look at stock as being series or really the value of all future cash flow and revenue in that company. If they're going to be giving cash back, that dividend has to come out of the price of that stock. Doesn't mean the stock's going to stay low. It might actually rally after the dividend, which is great. And that happens a lot too. But as the owner of a call option, you actually are not lined up. You're not going to receive that dividend, whatever the dividend is. Only the stockholders, only the owners of the stock receive the dividend. So if you own a call option, which, you know, if a call option is in the money, it can then be exchanged or it can be exercised into 100 shares of stock. The only way you get the dividend is if you exercise the option. So exercising allows you to capture a dividend. The other thing to be aware of is if you own a call option and that dividend goes, the stock goes ex-dividend, and it drops in price, that actually negatively affects the value of your call option as well. So if you own a call, it's always good to be aware of whether or not the company that you're trading pays a dividend and when that dividend may be announced. And then the second time that you would look to exercise an option, and this could be a call or a put option, is only when the stock or when the option itself is so deep in the money that the only way for you to truly capture its value is to go ahead and exercise that option. So let's say that you have an option. It's $5 in the money, and I'm just making up numbers here. It's $5 in the money, but you want to go ahead and capture the actual value because the bid and the ask spread, the place where the special or the market is willing to buy and sell that option is so wide because it's a deep in the money option. Your best bet likely is to go ahead and exercise the option and receive the underlying shares. And then, of course, with the underlying shares, you can just go ahead and close the trade. So that's the way that works. You always want to take into account as well the fees that will be involved in executing or actually closing the trade, because sometimes the fees might actually make it where it's not worth exercising. So anyway, that is it for the day as far as a topic. But I probably don't discuss exercise enough here because exercising and things that happen around expiration are so sort of second hat or second nature, old hat, second nature to me, that it just is part of how I think. But if you're new to options, then thinking in terms of expiration and what you're going to do with your position might take a little while to get used to. So let's dive into the trades for this past week. And I always think it's interesting, you know, the market was down just a little bit more than 2% this week. And last week we looked at a covered call. We looked at a credit spread, which where we sold a call spread. And we also looked at a debit spread where we bought a put spread. So in terms of times when the market goes down, right, market goes down, I should lose money on the covered call, right? I should make money on the call spread that I sold, and I should make money on owning a put spread. Let's start there. And then when you go back and you look at the actual options, which we're going to look at here in a minute, you kind of get to see what really did happen. And it's sometimes just a challenge of an individual stock prices, individual companies, versus what happened in the overall market. So we'll start off with the covered call on Fitbit, symbol FIT, Frank Isaac Thomas. Last week when we looked at this trade, the stock was sitting at $6.14. And I looked at buying stock and selling that March 6.5 call, collecting 10 cents and hoping for a 7.46% return in 2 weeks. Now, I typically love trades like this because they require so little capital, right? 100 shares of Fitbit will cost you, in the past tense, cost $614, and then you'd collect $10 for selling that call, and hope that Fitbit goes up in price, and that you're able to collect, you know, nearly 7.5% in 2 weeks. Well, Fitbit stock lost 46 cents per share this week, and that wasn't good. ending the week at $5.68 per share. The call option, which you sold, is 7 cents lower, so which means you made the 7 cents on the call option, but this trade net-net has lost 39 cents. So I've looked at a number of different variations, ways that you could adjust this trade. Normally we would look at, you know, buying the 6.5 call back and then selling the 6 call. You can still do that and collect some money there, a little bit of money. It's only 1 week from expiration though, so there's not that much to collect. You certainly can do it. It'll lower your overall loss at this point by the amount of money that you receive for rolling that strike lower, and I'd probably still do that. I also looked at rolling into and in the money call option where you could get assigned on your stock immediately or next week, since it's only 1 week away. I also looked at rolling this trade out into April, and at the end of the day, it's, you know, this is the low cost trade. It lost some money. I would look at probably just either going ahead and rolling down to the March $6 strike, selling that just to receive a little bit more money, which will smooth out the loss a little bit, or I'd just walk away from this trade. It was a low capital trade that cost us a little bit of change this week. Sometimes better to walk away. But again, with the market being down, I expected to lose money on this trade. Now let's look at our credit spread from last week. And I tell you guys all the time, I love ETFs. It's part of what I traded when I was at the CBOE. This one we looked at is the S&P 500 index ETF. More familiar term for it is the spiders, and symbol is SPY, Sam Paul Yellow. Last week when we looked at this, the ETF was trading for $280.42 per share, and I looked at selling the March 282.5, 283 call spread, collecting 18 cents, which would of course lead us with the possibility of a maximum loss of 32 cents per share, or per spread. Now, the S&P SPY ETF ended the week $5.96 lower, so we finished at $274.46 per share. Our out-of-the-money call spread, which we sold, is now even more out-of-the-money, which is great. We sold the spread for 18 cents, and the spread right now can be bought back for 1 penny, which is fantastic. So that leaves us with a 17 cents profit for 1 week of trading. And some people will wait, you know, will wait that whole week for this trade to expire. I mean, we're only 1 week away from expiration. And I just talked about, you know, waiting, you know, pricing as an end for the end, waiting for expiration. But I always also, especially when I have a trade that is making money, I always look at, you know, how much more money can I actually make in this trade? Our maximum profit right off the bat was what we collected when we sold it for, which is 18 cents. And so far we've made 17 cents. Lock in your profit, pay the penny, and exit this trade and count your money, right? Any trade left open can always move against you, even in the last week of expiration. So if you get a chance to lock in, you know, almost 95% of your profit in 1 week, lock in the profit and walk away. Look for the next trade. I'm much happier counting money on the table than counting my hope of locking in profit in my trading account. So that's that. And then our final trade of the week, one that is always interesting, is our debit spread. You know, we did a debit spread on Toll Brothers, symbol TOL, Thomas Oscar Larry. At the time, the stock was trading for $35.46, and we bought a put spread, the March 36, 35 half put spread for 35 cents, which creates a maximum gain of 15 cents or a 42, almost 43% return in 2 weeks. Toll Brothers stock ended the week a little bit higher, closing at $35.59 per share or 13 cents higher than last week. Now, our in-the-money put spread, which we bought, is now kind of out of the money because there's only 1 week left to this spread. The spread itself has lost quite a bit of money. So, in fact, if you were to sell the spread back to the market right now, you would only receive 10 cents for it, and that would lock in a 25 cent loss. However, there's another way to look at this trade. So let's break down what we actually did in the initial trade. So we bought this 36 put and we sold the 35 half put against it. And it's the 35 half put that now has crossed over into being the at the money put or actually 9 cents in the money. Now, sure, we did this as a spread, but what happens if we look at the individual options? And I always challenge you guys to look at individual options. So with 1 week left until expiration, let's consider how this spread will look next week if prices stay the same. So that 35 half put, which you sold, will be worthless, right? So that's great. If it expires worthless, we get to keep our money. The 36 put has 41 cents of intrinsic value right now, right? So this means that you've paid 35 cents for an in-the-money put, and you walk away with 41 cents at expiration. Now, hopefully, now what will end up happening is that you also have, right now you have 9 cents of intrinsic value on that 35 half put, you have 9 cents of intrinsic value. Sometimes that's too little, a lot of times that's too little money for someone to actually exercise against you. So you'll have to keep an eye on that. But right now, you still have 41 cents in that other put. So the break-even price for the spread is $35.65 per share. So as long as prices finish lower than that, you'll walk away from this trade with a little bit of a profit. I would hold this trade knowing fully that you need to be very sensitive to price movements on this, or you can go ahead and close out and lock in the 25 cent profit, 25 cent loss. But right now you're closer to scratch than anything else. So definitely worth taking a closer look and not just immediately locking in a 25 cent loss by buying in that spread. So once again, we'll look at the trades for this upcoming week. I wanted to mention, of course, again, that we only have 1 week left until March expiration. And we are 6 weeks away. The March to April time span is a 5 week expiration cycle. So we are 6 weeks away from April expiration. So the trades that we look at this week are all in April. We're going to start off with a covered call. We're looking at Tenet Healthcare Corporation, symbol THC, Thomas Harry Charlie. The stock finished the week at $27.17. And I'm looking at buying stock and selling the April 28 call at $1.45 per option, which if it finishes in the money will lead us with an 8.39% return in 6 weeks. Now you will enter this trade by buying Tenet stock at $27.17 and selling the April 28 call at $1.45. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $28 per share. Our second trade on the week is a credit spread. We're looking at a spread in Coca-Cola, symbol KO, Kevin Oscar. Stock ended the week at $44.84 per share. And I'm looking at selling the April 45-46 call spread at 32 cents, which creates a maximum loss of 68 cents or possible loss of 68 cents in 6 weeks. You enter this trade by selling the April 45 call at 59 cents per call and buying the April 46 call for 27 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread ultimately, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish below $45 per share. So both Coca-Cola and Tenet Healthcare announced earnings not long ago, a few weeks ago, and I definitely wanted to take a look at these, and sure enough, these are trades that looked like they would be worth doing. And then our final trade of the week, final trade of the 52nd recording episode of this show, is on Morgan Stanley. It's a debit spread on Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley, symbol MS, Michael Sam. Stock ended the week at $41.36 per share. And I'm looking at buying the April 43-42 put spread, paying 64 cents for this put spread. That leaves a maximum gain of 34 cents or a possible 56.25% return in 6 weeks. You enter the trade by buying the April 43 put for $2.40 and selling the April 42 put and collecting $1.76. This is a debit spread because we ultimately are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain lower than $42 per share. So that's it for the week and the 52nd episode of this show. Thanks again for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out at my email, eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's Eric with a C, E-R-I-C. And otherwise, go out there and make some money. Happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.